It's time once again for, yes, you guessed it, puckjunk.com. We call it Got 'em, Need 'em. The website is puckjunk.com. I can start to say it properly. I know the man's name, Sal Berry. I can say that. Sal in Chicago, Illinois, how you doing?
I'm wonderful. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there, looking forward to the playoffs just around the corner. We just had the NHL trade deadline. We're right in the midst of the hockey busy season. Tell me what you're excited about card-wise.
Let's see. Card-wise, what am I excited about? Well, I'm still geeking out on old stuff. Upper Deck Series 2 is coming. Actually came out this week. In fact, I think it just came out Tuesday.
Okay, and what do you think of it?
I haven't actually gotten it in my hands yet. Probably going to pick some up over the weekend. But as I've said before, I like Upper Deck Series 1. I like Upper Deck Series 2. One thing I really like about Upper Deck, breaking it into two series, is that they don't... If a player gets traded, they won't put him in Series 1 in his old uniform and put, like, now with Kings or whatever. They'll just wait until Series 2 and then put him in that series in the new uniform. So that's always been one thing that I've really liked about that set, is the timeliness of, you know, the players, either the rookies, you know, in their uniforms, or the players who get traded in their new uniforms.
Okay, you'll have to give us a review of that series when you get it in your precious little hands then. Okay, I actually used to like as a kid when it would say, now with the Kings or something like that. Because, Sal, I started collecting about 73 OPC up here in Canada, and I've got most of my cards. But stupidly and shamefully, I admit, because I was a kid, and in a way I'm not even going to apologize for it, but it's wrecked the cards. I used to go and change the name on the card of the team a guy was with a pen to keep up to date. So if someone was traded, I'd cross it out and go, now with the Kansas City Scouts.
Nice. I can't say I've ever written to a card like that, but I do remember, like, as a kid, I would take a double, and I would, like, take a logo sticker, and I would put the new logo sticker over the old logo. So, like, if they went from, like, say, the Whalers to the Kings or whatever, I would actually, I don't know if those two teams have ever made a trade, but just as an example, yeah. I would take the Kings logo and then, like, paste that over the old team's logo.
Oh, yeah.
I would do something like that, too. I think one reason why I liked doing that as a kid is because the baseball sets, you know, here in America, we had the Topps made the baseball sets, and they were quite large. They were 792
sure.
cards.
Yep.
But then they'd go back and they'd make a traded set.
Yeah, we get them up here on card stores, and I'd collect them. They'd be in the little red or blue box or something, right?
Right, and I thought that was always really cool. And so, like, when I was a kid, I was like, well, how come there's no hockey-traded sets?
Good point.
And then in the early 90s, like, Upper Deck would do their update set, Score would do their traded set, and then even last year, with Panini taking over the Score name, they came out with an update set last year. They're not doing that this year, though, unfortunately.
Why is that?
So far, I can't find any information on it.
No market demand for it?
I don't know. Maybe they're scaling back a little bit. I'll tell you what's interesting, though, about Upper Deck Series 2. Well, you recall that last time we talked, or two times ago, we talked about Upper Deck Victory and
yeah.
how they are putting MVP inserts in Upper Deck Victory. So MVP used to be its own standalone set, and
right.
Victory is its own standalone set. And what Upper Deck did this year is, like, one in every maybe four packs would have an MVP card. So it's like if you wanted to build that set, you'd have to get, you know, that many insert cards to build,
yeah,
right?
Good luck, yep.
Well, what's really funny about Upper Deck Series 2 is that actually... the inserts in Upper Deck Series 2, among other inserts that they do, is they're actually doing update cards for OPC, Victory, and MVP. So you buy a pack of Upper Deck Series 2, and it's going to have cards from Upper Deck Series 2, but then it might have cards from, like, 601 to 625 of their quote-unquote OPC update. So they're not giving OPC a full update set like they've done in years past. They're just doing, like, here's 20 cards, and we're just shuffling them into other sets. And they're doing the same with Victory and MVP. So that's going to be delightful.
Yeah, that's interesting. So are those extra cards considered part of the OPC set if I was to buy it as a base set, say, 5 years from now?
Yeah, to a master set builder, as it's called, yes. But to, like, somebody selling the set, no. In fact, what they did with OPC this year, so 11-12 OPC, actually 20 insert cards that you could get were cards from last year. Even though they were in this year's pack, they had last year's design, and it was like 20 more, like, late edition.
Gotcha.
Rookies, yeah. Like, say, like Matt Hackett of the Wild, guys like that, who kind of snuck in towards the end of the 10-11 season. I don't know. It's just, it's going to be hard to track down all those cards. So it would be very, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to track down, but it would be, it's not going to be cheap necessarily, so no. You're not likely to find it tacked on with a complete set unless the person's asking a lot of money for the set. I mean, we could be just talking like, you know, $200 or something. I'm not talking like a ton of money, but
that's
still
a lot of money.
It would just be a chore if you get one in every like 10 packs or something.
Okay, my head's spinning. No wonder the hockey card and baseball card collecting isn't as big as it once was. That's just that's craziness. It's kind of fun, but at the same time, the average kid's not going to give a damn about that. That's crazy. That's for grown-up adults like us who haven't grown up, apparently, and have a bit of disposable income, apparently, so.
Right, to chase down cards. You know, if I wait long enough, I always find things at the price I want to pay for.
That's a good point to anyone collecting. If you haven't listened to Sal here from puckjunk.com, be patient, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, all of a sudden this year's cards become last year's cards.
Yep.
And if you still like them, you'll find them at what you want to pay for them, because a lot of the times you're going to pay the most, especially for, like, a popular rookie card. You're going to pay probably the most for it, unless the guy wins a major award, or if it's somebody like Ovechkin or Crosby who are just like evergreen popular.
Yeah.
You might want to wait a year or two, you know, wait for the hype to die down around this player, because there's always another draft class coming around that people are going to obsess over. So sometimes it's just fun to go and pick up cards that are a couple years old and get them for cheaper than what you would have paid for them, you know, in their rookie season.
Good point. Now, I want to talk about, in light of the trade deadline that was a couple of weeks ago, update cards of a different sort when, I guess, the next season they wouldn't take the time to get a photo of the guy in his new uniform. I don't know why, because these cards used to come out in January. You'd think they would have had a chance. And they used to draw on the uniforms. We've talked about this 2 years ago, but you sent me, I want to talk about this again because it's a lot of fun. People will see these cards for the first time. Back in the 70s and 80s, particularly in the NHL. There's other exceptions, too. There's some crazy ones. A guy that people like to make fun of, Warren Young, who got a lot of goals playing with Mario Lemieux for the Penguins in the 80s there, in the 84-85, or whenever that season was.
Yeah.
He may have the weirdest drawn-on uniform ever, because the Pittsburgh Penguin in the triangle there, the Three Rivers Triangle, whatever the heck it is, it's like, it just doesn't look right. It's an Opeachy card. I guess there was a Topps equivalent. Maybe there wasn't. And it's just geographically, geometrically wrong, whatever the word is. It's just ugly. Tell us about it.
86, 87.
Is that the card?
Yes, the Warren Young card. What's funny about that is, okay, so Warren Young played a season for the Penguins. Then he went to the Red Wings. Or he might have played more than one season, I forget. But he basically went to the Red Wings, and then he went back to the Penguins.
Yeah.
And so, now, I don't understand the logic behind this. If a guy goes from one team to another team back to the first team, they could have used a picture of Warren Young from 84, 85 in their 86, 87 set.
You know, if they disguised it properly, who would have known, right? Crop out
right.
The other guy.
I mean, it could have been, you know, I mean, like, you probably remember, like, you know, seeing the same picture of Phil Esposito for 2 or 3 years in a row back in the 70s, right?
Pretty much, that's right, yes.
Yes, so what they did, though, is they went through all this time and trouble to, like, paint over his Red Wings uniform to make it look like a Penguins uniform, and then they pasted a Penguins logo on it, but they put it on really crooked. Actually, it might be drawn on. I'm not 100% sure, but it looks really bad, and I'm just thinking, why didn't they just take a picture of him from 2 years ago? We don't age that much in 2 years, you know, at least as adults, so I could never figure that one out. But they actually did a lot of bad airbrushing, painting, head swaps, whatever they could do to kind of make it look at first glance like the player was with his new team.
Now, what was the state of airbrushing art back then? Because I'm telling you, we, even as kids, even as like 11 and 12 year olds collecting cards, we still cracked up about these cards. We didn't know anything about airbrushing, but we look at it, we'd groan and go, oh, look how awful that looks.
Well, I say airbrushing loosely because a lot of them were actually
a guy with a colored marker.
Paintbrush. If I scan the card and zoom in on it or whatever, you can actually see the brush strokes on some of the.
Oh, neat. Okay.
I don't know if you have that Jimmy Carson card in front of you.
Yeah, I do, with the Oilers. Yeah.
Yeah, you can actually see the brush strokes on like his shoulders.
It's a work of art.
Huh?
It's a work of art. Yeah.
It is kind of, but I mean, if you look at the helmet, that's definitely a Kings helmet. That's an old purple Kings helmet. It doesn't even match. Like, you know, it's funny. Like, sometimes they go through, like, these insane efforts to, like, one that comes to mind, 87-88 Tony McKegney. He was with the Rangers. He went to the Blues. They got a good close-up of him, but then they painted in, like, a yellow collar, right?
Yeah, I see that, yeah.
The Blues had, like, gold and blue. But if you look at the card, you'll still see a Rangers logo on his helmet.
It's a sticker on the left-hand side. You're right, and I have that card. I've never noticed that till now. That's hilarious. Did they just miss that when they were doing it?
They must have. But you know another thing that was funny was that they put all this time and effort into painting over the card. Like if you look at Steve Kristoff, Mel Bridgham, Ken Solheim, those guys. I mean, they put all this time, but then if you flipped over the back of the card and read it, it still said that they were with their old team.
I don't know why they did it. We always laugh. The Mel Bridgman with the Devils is among the worst. First, Mel wasn't, I'm not Robert Redford, but Mel's even further away from that. And the helmet's drawn on, and the Devils uniform has got, like, he's got no shoulders. It's like he's some creature, some hockey hell has been called up to the Devils have summoned him. It's just an awful card. If I'm Mel Bridgman, I'd still sue over that card.
Well, from what I understand, he will not autograph that card.
Don't blame him.
And from what I also understand, New Jersey was hockey hell circa 1983.
Well, it was. Mickey Mouse, though, still looked better than that. That's a bad one. The Bill Clement, he's talked about this before, actually, where he's went from the Flyers, I guess, to the Washington Capitals, and it's the worst drawn Capitals logo I've ever seen. Plus, Bill Clement looks like he's like Zdeno Chara compared to the other guys in this picture.
Well,
it's
a
weird
big
picture.
Guy. But what's funny about that is that they painted the jersey, but they didn't paint his legs. So he's still, like, from the waist down, he's still a Flyer, and from the waist up, he's a Capital.
Oh, it's fantastic. Now,
and they also gave him 00.
Yeah, I see that. He's got the John Davidson going. Very nice.
What's up with that?
Now, I love this stuff. Now, obviously, these aren't worth anything extra, but I've seen other websites, too, that have some fun with this stuff. They do it for baseball cards, too, and they have a lot of fun over the years with these drawn-on stuff. And as I said, Sal, as kids, we cracked up about this. But let me ask you, in this day and age of you do a graphic arts and all that kind of related stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't you do, if you had to do this, a better job now? And do they still do stuff like this anymore? Or do they just wait to get the proper photo of a guy?
Yes, they can do a better job. Even in like the 90s, they were doing more digitally enhanced. Let me give you an example. 92-93 Upper Deck Series 1 included Eric Lindros in the set.
Yep.
Even though he had not yet, you recall he didn't play 91-92 in the NHL. He was waiting to get traded away from Quebec.
Yep.
Upper Deck, the way they included him in Series 1, even though he had not appeared in a game yet, was they basically pasted his head on Mark Recchi's body. And it was a close-up, and I think they, like, I don't know, they, like, took the 8. I don't know if Recchi wore 8, but they basically made it look like it was number 88, and they pasted his head on Recchi's body. And then I haven't actually seen this, though, so I can't ascertain myself, but I read that there was a Parkhurst set in, like, 96. I think it was Parkhurst European was the name of the set, but it was actually sold in America. And they took Gretzky and they put his head on Guy Carboneau's. Well, Carboneau was with the Blues, right?
At that point, I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. So they basically took Gretzky's head and put it on Guy Carboneau's body. And actually, I have seen the card online, just not in person, and it looks pretty good. But see, the problem with this then is there's really no truth to any of this. Then you could put anybody on any team, and I think that's why they stopped doing it. I mean, because it almost got too easy to do, and I mean, there's a whole ethical conversation about, you know, why this is wrong to do. I mean, if you did something like this in a magazine or a newspaper, you'd get fired.
Well, you would now. They're more sensitive about it, and I understand why. And mistakes are made. The famous one, of course, is the Jacques Lemaire Sabre card I got as a kid, and I remember thinking when I got it. And the cards in Canada, Lopicha would come out like early January of that season, halfway through. I remember looking at this card going, Lemaire's still with the Habs. When did this trade go through? And, of course, there was a rumor There was a rumor that he was going to be traded, and what I've read is that Opeachy jumped the gun and airbrushed him in a Sabres uniform, and of course, Lemaire never ended up in Buffalo.
Do you know who he was going to be traded for?
I read,
and
I don't...
Do you know anything more about that?
No.
It always stumped me.
I read, and I don't recall. I read this years ago because... This card comes up a lot. What was that, the 73-74 card?
74-75.
I'm close. I can't remember. I'm getting old. I have it. I still have it at home. I think I have another one where I wrote Montreal on it in anger. But that kind of thing happens. One card that you do have here, and we're talking to Sal Berry from puckjunk.com before we wrap up here. I want to talk about one of these airbrush cards I didn't know was airbrushed. I didn't look at it carefully enough, and you're going to go, well, shame on you, Mick, but I didn't know. And it's an interesting one, too, because it's a famous card. It's Brett Hull's rookie card. I have it, and I don't have a counterfeit. I pulled it from the pack. I sold one years ago in, like, 91 for a bunch of money to some sucker. But I'm looking. It's a boring card. It's Brett, you know, Brett looking good, looking up at the rafters. He's got the Blues uniform on. And it's only now I'm looking at it, and you got the Topps version. The Opeachy, as far as I know, was the same. I'm pretty sure it was. I haven't. You're telling me, what was he in, a Calgary Flames uniform in that original picture?
Yeah, he would have been in a Flames uniform.
Wow, I didn't even know that. I didn't look, because the logo is not visible, and I didn't really look at the collar that close. I just remember looking at the rookie card going, wow, for an explosive player, that's one boring rookie card.
Yeah, Lemieux's rookie card is not that much more exciting. He's just kind of standing there.
Well, that's what Lemieux would do, and then before you know it, he'd be in the net, right? But
right.
You think with
but
Brett Hull...
The whole card is... I think the 88-89 Opeachy sticker uses the same photo, if I remember correctly. Uses the same head and shoulder shot. But I think that there was another set. I want to say that it was... There was another 88-89 set. I know Panini, they used different, totally different photography than what Topps or Opeachy would do. In fact, I think they would just get the photos straight from the team. They'd go straight to the source and just use the same photos that appeared in the guide and record book. But yeah, Brett Hull's rookie card was airbrushed. So is Jim Craig's. And, you know, I never noticed that. I know Craig did not have a significant
NHL
career, but he's pretty significant to us Americans.
Yeah, real hockey fans don't know he was a burp in history, and that NHL-wise, and for Atlanta and Boston. What's he, an Atlanta uniform in that card?
He was in an Atlanta uniform, and they changed it to look like a Bruins uniform, and that B that they painted on it is just really horrible.
It's the B that gives it away. If they could have covered that, you might have been fooled. Maybe. Or not you, I would have been.
If they didn't even have it there. You know what's funny, though, about the Opeachy version of the 80-81 set is that all the, actually, with Topps, all the Atlanta Flames are close-up shots, so you don't see the logo, because I believe that was the year they moved to Calgary, 80-81.
That's correct.
So they were very selective in the shots that they used, so that they were only head and shoulder shots, so you wouldn't see, like, the big A on their chest. However, Brad Marsh's rookie card is in the Opeachy version of the set, and they just flat out just paint off the Atlanta Flames logo, because I guess it would have confused young Mick Kern. Why is there a big A on his chest?
I was 17. I was 17 then. I was not confused, but someone else would have been. Oh, no. As kids, we sussed this out right away. We knew what was going on. As I said, it was lunchtime. Freezing up in Edmonton as a 12-year-old, we had many laughs over the awful cards, and that's just a bit of it. So we got to go. We could keep talking about this. People, go online and look for these cards. You got these up on your website at all?
Yes.
Puckjunk.com is the place to go. Sal, talk to you next week.
All right, take care.